The device I hold in my hand right now, which is not mine, incidentally, gives me access to more information than most people in human history could have ever imagined having access to. I remember just about 20 years ago, when I was in elementary, middle school, and I was doing research projects, I remember being amazed at the amount of information on a shelf filled with encyclopedias, right? Like, that was amazing how much you could find out from that shelf. Think about what I can access within seconds through this little device. I had a collection of around 20,000 sports cards, baseball, basketball cards. Yes, 20,000. I could have memorized the backs of all of those, all of the statistics and everything, and not come close to having in my mind all the information that I can find about sports and athletes and statistics via this device. Within a few seconds of using this, I could figure out how to change a car battery. I could find the nearest Mexican restaurant, which is always good information to have. I could give you a brief explanation of Einstein's theory of relativity. And beyond all of the access we have to information, we're also bombarded with it. Billboards, commercials, marketing calls, we're always getting thrown information. We know of various kinds of suffering happening at any particular moment all throughout the world. Wars and poverty and diseases and anything you can imagine, we know about it within a matter of seconds. Our generation, and by that I mean all of those of us who are experiencing the information age, know more things than any generation before us. We have access to more knowledge and information than any generation in human history. And while many would call that progress, we must ask ourselves, are we, as human beings, more fulfilled? Are we better? Are we more human? Are we more today, with all of our knowledge and information, the people that God has called us to be? I want to offer to you that we have, I think, more than enough information at our disposal. We don't need more information. What we need is more love. And in many ways, I think, I'm afraid, that all the information we have can distract us from that. And so this morning, I want to just take a little bit of time to talk about just the gobs of information we have in our culture available to us, and talk about the problem with information. And then talk a little bit about God's purpose for information. How do we access and use information in a way that does help us to become more fulfilled and loving? So the problem with information, first of all, is that information is absolutely necessary to our survival. We need information. We can't just say, forget it, I don't want to know anything. I watch my little girl running around, almost 2 years old, and she's just like a sponge. Just soaks up every little thing about the world around her. And we all do that. We need information about our world, about our lives, in order to function, in order to exist meaningfully in this world. Information is important. As we read in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is a good thing. It says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Only a fool says, I don't need information. And then in verse 22 of chapter 1, it says, this is kind of my translation, how long will you who are ignorant love your ignorant ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Okay, so we can't just disregard information. Ignorance is not a virtue for Christians, for people of faith. But then, here's where the problem begins more, is that information needs to be processed by us. Okay, we have to ask questions. We can't just receive a bunch of information and then that automatically makes us better or helps us to function. We have to ask questions of the information, like, is it true? We get a lot of information that is not true, and we have to figure that out. We have to ask questions like, is this all? Is this total? Am I only getting a small bit of information when what I really need is a bigger picture? We have to ask, is it trivial? We get a lot of information that has no bearing whatsoever on how we live our lives. You could win Jeopardy, and that could mean not very much at all in how well you function in this world, right? That's why we call these games trivia. These are the questions we have to ask. We have to process information. Furthermore, leading to the problem, information is morally neutral. Information is morally neutral. Knowing something is neither necessarily good nor bad. Any information is not necessarily good nor bad. For instance, scientific knowledge can lead us to cure diseases like polio or measles and mumps and these type of things. And that's, I think, a good thing. Scientific knowledge can also lead us to technology like the atomic bomb, which I presume is a bad thing. So we can take knowledge and information, and it really matters who we are, whether it becomes useful, good information, or bad information. And ultimately, finally, information, we need to know this, cannot feed our souls, cannot fulfill us. We have more information, it's people in our culture, than we could possibly know what to do with, and that does not correlate to fulfillment. For all the information that we absorb, there's always more. There's always someone smarter than us. There's always another topic that we feel like we should know about. And I think a lot of the information that we have just leads us feeling more anxious, scrambling, because we need to know more. We have so much information that we can't process all of it. It comes constantly through our minds, and we don't have time to ask it the questions that we need to ask it. And more importantly, we don't have the opportunity to act on most of the information we have. And we want to as human beings. We want to be able to act on the information. When I hear about some disaster or some epidemic or something going on in the world, I want to be able to do something about it. But we know so much that we're often left paralyzed. We don't even know where to start to act on the information that we receive. Many of us feel like we're drowning in information. That's the problem that we face. But again, information is not a bad thing. It's not bad to have information. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is God's purpose for information? How do we apply ourselves to knowledge and wisdom in a way that is helpful, that does lead us into the kinds of lives that God has called us to live? And for that, I've chosen as a text for us this morning, 1 Corinthians 8. And as Chuck read 1 Corinthians 8, you might have been wondering, like, what does this have to do with anything? Because it's about this issue of whether Christians should or should not eat food sacrificed to idols. Like, what does that have to do with anything? I need to give you some context for this. This is really kind of a genuine question for Christians back in the city of Corinth. Because Corinth was a very Roman town, and so there were all kinds of these various temples in town to various gods that the Romans, people in the Roman Empire worshipped. And in these temples, animals were used for sacrifices, like most religions of the time. And so they would sacrifice these animals to the idols, to these gods. And then, here's the real issue, is that kind of the back door of the temple was also the town butcher shop. Okay, so they would use these animals. But that's just where normal people went to buy their meat. Okay, so the Christians are saying, are we allowed to buy meat from these temples where they've been sacrificed to idols? And so that's their question. Can we worship God and also eat this meat? And Paul answers their question. He gives them the information they're asking for. And his answer is based on what information and knowledge they have. So he says, hence, as to the eating of food, this is verse 4, offered to idols, we know in our minds, we know they have the information that no idol in the world really exists. So, you know, these gods that they're offering to, he says, as Christians, we believe that those gods aren't real. That they're fake. And so it's not like these gods are haunting your food or anything. Okay, he says, we know that. And ultimately, it's okay. You know, we know that there's just one God. We know that there's one Lord Jesus Christ. Like, you know, it's this because of what we know, yeah, you can eat this food that you get out of the back door of the temple. So he gives them the information that they're looking for. But, and this is a big but, in response to their question, Paul actually makes a much bigger point. And I know this is a bigger point because he begins with it before he answers their question, and then after he answers the question, he comes back to it to re-emphasize this point. And the point is this: knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. That's the point he makes. You see, just having the information can kind of make us like that puffer fish you see up there. It makes us look bigger than we are. It makes us look like we're smart and intelligent and kind of intimidating and imposing. And a lot of us may feel intimidated by people who know a lot of things, like really smart people. We get a little intimidated because the knowledge kind of puffs us up a little bit. So he warns them. He says, I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to give you the information that you asked for. But just know that having this right answer might not do anything for your faith. Might not do anything for whether you are the person that God has created you to be. And he elaborates on that after he gives them the answer. So he says, no, it's okay to eat this food sacrificed to idols. But in verse 7 he says, it is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. So some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Okay? So what he's saying is, there are a lot of Christians in this town who haven't really this knowledge about this one true God hasn't really sunk in. And so for them, when they eat the meat that's been sacrificed to idols, they're kind of led astray a little bit in their faith. They're thinking about these other gods and thinking that they're doing something wrong. And he says, if they see you, he says, or verse 9, he says, but take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you who possess knowledge eating in the temple of an idol, and what they would do is they would have these feasts, these kind of social gatherings in the temple where they would serve this meat. And he says, these people who don't know this, these Christians who don't really know this, if they see you eating food sacrificed to an idol, they might kind of think, well, it's okay. It's okay to worship God and kind of worship these other gods and idols. And he says, your knowledge, by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. He says, as you act out this information you have, as you try and live out this knowledge, other Christians are getting destroyed in their faith. So his conclusion is this: when you thus sin against members of your family, brothers and sisters in Christ, and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. He says, therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall. For Paul, all of this knowledge, having the right answer here, means nothing. The only thing that matters is whether he is loving his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's doing whatever he can to build up their faith instead of destroy it. For Paul, information takes a back seat to love. And a few chapters later, chapter that many of us are familiar with, he says it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I know everything there is to know, I'm the smartest person on this earth, but I don't have love, I am nothing. The knowledge and the information that we need is knowledge and information in the cause of love. And that kind of information is the information that comes through a relationship, not through a textbook. So in Proverbs 1:7, again, it says, the fear of the Lord. When I come to worship God and know God, experience the holiness and the glory of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The relationship is where real knowledge and wisdom come from. It's this knowledge that can draw us closer to God, that can help us to live the life we were created to live. The Hebrew word for knowledge comes from the word yada. You say that with me, yada? You all speak Hebrew. And this word is really a big word, and it's interesting as you look through how it's used. One of the ways yada is used in the Old Testament is as a euphemism for sexual relationship. You read, you know, Adam knew his wife, right? That's the same word that we see for to know the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This word for knowing is not an impersonal word. It's not knowing things that are kind of out there that we pick apart like scientists. It's an experiential knowing. The Old Testament says that one day the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. And it's not saying that everyone in this world is going to be able to pass a multiple choice test about what God is like. It's saying everyone will know experientially who God is, will know experientially the presence of God. The difference between this kind of yada, knowledge, and the knowledge and the information that we usually think about is the difference between looking at the moon and knowing about the moon through a telescope and knowing about the moon because you were there. When I'm looking at the moon through the telescope, the moon is very small. I am very big. When I'm on the moon, I realize that I am very small and the moon is very big. That's the difference, friends, between knowing about God and knowing God. One more example from Ephesians 3. This is another letter of Paul's. And this is a prayer for knowledge for these people, okay? And I want you to hear what Paul prays for them about their knowledge and the information that they have. He says, I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend, to know with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a different kind of knowing than what I can access what I can access on this, isn't it? To be filled with Christ, to be rooted in Him, to be filled with the fullness of God. That's the kind of knowledge that comes from knowing God, from experiencing God, from experiencing the glory and the grace of Jesus. Jesus Himself is very blunt and critical of people who know about God but don't know God. These are people who could have recited the Old Testament for you from here. They didn't even need it in their hands. And He says, but you don't know God. You haven't experienced His love or His grace or His reality. As Paul says, information about something just makes us look smarter. To truly know God is not to have information about God, but to be in a relationship with God that transforms us deeper and deeper into people who reflect His love. So enough information. You all are smart enough. We need experiential knowledge of God. That's what will fulfill us. That is what will inspire us. That is what will transform us into people whose primary characteristic is love. Probably more than any of the other sermons throughout this series about enough, which has been personally a very convicting series. This one was the most personal to me because I came to admit last year that my name is John Comperta and I am an ideaholic. Okay. I am kind of addicted to knowledge and to ideas. I'm stimulated by them. I love reading people who have cultural insights. I love reading about the Bible and theology and church and ministry and things like that. And so I read books and blogs and I watch videos and all that. And I know a lot about the Bible and about theology and about ministry. And I think you probably want that in your pastor. But at the same time, I've become increasingly aware of how this knowledge can just be a distraction from the love deficiencies in my life and in my heart. And I've realized, this is hard, and I don't trivialize this for people who are addicted to things. It's hard to change it. But I've realized that what I need is to say enough sometimes to the information, to reduce how much knowledge I take in, so that I have a chance to just sit with one truth at a time, to meditate on it, to put it into practice, to let it sink down deep into my soul and become a part of who I am. And I haven't been very successful with that yet, I have to admit to you. But that's what we need to do, to really be transformed and to experience the fulfillment and the joy that God wants us to experience. What I need is to sometimes put down the books and be in relationship with many people like you, many of whom are way farther down the path of love than I am. That's the kind of information I need to be taking in. So, friends, I want you to know the Bible. I want you to know what it's about. I want you to be able to understand it, but not so you can pass a test someday. Not so you can win Bible trivia or anything like that. I want us to know the Bible in a way that allows us to be drawn into the story of God. And in that story, through these scriptures, to come to know God in an experiential, personal, relational way. Because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. and it's love that fulfills us and makes us content. And it's love that is what the world needs more of. Let's pray. God, you are a God of love. You are also the God of knowledge. And I pray, Lord, that we would receive the knowledge we need from you that will make us into the people of love that you've called us to be. Lord, keep us from being overwhelmed by all the information we have. And help us to know how we can simply live the life of love you've called us to. And in that life, that we might find contentment and be fulfilled by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.